Genesis chapter 12 this morning. Genesis chapter number 12, if you have your Bibles, say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad you brought your Bibles to church. That's probably a good thing to do. I don't want to be one of those people that don't bring my Bible to church. Amen? And I'm not talking about because you left it in your car since last Sunday either. I'm talking about because you respected it through the week and you spent some time with it and you thought it right to bring it with you and spend some time in it this morning. I like it when we go to church and we open our Bibles. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't say open your phones. That's distracting to me and to you because, you know, other stuff goes on like that, right? Whatever happened to just good old Bible teaching and preaching, right? I like those days back in the old days when they didn't have them phones they could pull out and them TVs they could look at to preach off of. You know what I'm saying? We don't need nothing else. Just a King James Bible and we're going to be all right. Everybody okay? Genesis chapter 12, we have coming up in October our missions conference, and I'm very excited about that. If you've been praying about that, would you just be honest and say amen? That's good. Listen, I hope that you're praying ahead of our missions conference because I believe 100% God's heartbeat is around missions. I believe that God has given us as a local church a job, and you know, we can't, and many of us don't have the ability to go into foreign countries, and even in, you know, Lord, we need some missionaries to America. You know what's sad right now is they're sending more missionaries to America than America's sending out to the world. But America needs missionaries. And those countries back there need missionaries, and there's many more countries that need missionaries, good, God-fearing, Bible-teaching, God-fearing missionaries that will go and sacrifice everything they know as comfortability and leave and do what God has called them to do. So leading up to our missions conference, I want to start preaching some messages on revolving around missions and some men that got called by God that took on the call and God's reward. See, what I like about God is this. He doesn't ever call you just for no reason. It's no accident when God calls you. You understand what I'm saying? It's not one of those things where God specifically calls you and you're looking over your shoulder and you're like, surely that wasn't intended for me. No, no, God makes no mistakes in what He does. Ever. He's never called a man, woman, boy, or girl on accident. Amen? Ever. So with that said, I want to, leading up to this missions conference, I want you to be praying about, as a church whole, what we could do more in the lines of missions. You know, there's a lot of missionaries out there that need support. I understand that. You're going to meet some of them in October that would gladly take on your support and would do a good work. And I promise you, everyone that's coming here, I know their pastors personally. I wouldn't have them here if it wasn't a good reverence and I didn't know they were going to be doing the job that God called them to do. And I mean, one of them is a family of my size, 6 kids. And they're uprooting from Dayton, Ohio to go to America, Samoa in a world unknown. Why? Because God called them. I know their pastor. Their church supports over 250 missionaries a year. Over $1 million a year given to missions out of that church. Say, how do they do that? By faith. Because they care about souls. See, when God's, what I want you to start praying about is this. What could God do with me and my family this next year in the lines of missions? What more could I do prayerfully and financially? And I know it sounds like, you know, you go to church, we're not begging for your money, no one's doing that, but I'm saying, what more could we do as New Hope Independent Baptist Church to get this gospel around the world? Because see, in the end, it's not really going to matter about our money anyways, right? What's going to matter, like we talked about this morning, the question was brought up, you know, are there still tears in heaven right now? I believe 100% there's tears and sorrow right now in heaven. Why? Because there's still lost souls down here. The return of Jesus Christ has not yet happened. The great white throne judgment has not taken place. Those that are in hell have not came out and been shown their last judgment and cast into a lake of fire. The keys of death and hell have not been thrown away yet. The devil is not in the lake of fire yet. So yes, there's still mourning. Yes, there's still sorrow. Yes, there's still tears. Yes, there's still lost souls around the world. And yes, we are responsible. I think we're doing a very good job reaching our community in this local community and even our surrounding communities. I've been praying about the kids in the schools around here. It did my heart good to see young people from Red Level that don't normally come to our church, and young people from Sparta over in Evergreen that don't normally come to our church, and young people from the Andalusia area and the Gantt area that don't normally come to our church. But because our kids are involved and because people are involved in their communities, hey, we're reaching out. You know what it's all about? Getting the gospel to the world. That's really what this whole thing is about. So this morning I want you to start praying ahead of this missions conference in a few weeks and ask God, God, what could I do with your power? What could you allow me to do with my family in the line of missions? And I want to look at Genesis chapter 12 this morning. We'll open in a word of prayer and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, once again, for your word and your truth. God, I ask you now, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this study. We know, Lord, if there's one thing the devil don't want, it's for your gospel to get out. But Lord, we know you do. You desire that. You've given us the ability to do it. And Lord, this morning as we study this, I pray, God, that you'll touch the hearts and minds of each and every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice as you have touched my heart. God, I thank you so much for the souls that are here this morning. Lord, they don't normally come, but Lord, I pray, God, they'll find themselves a home in our church. God, I thank you for the young men, Lord, who showed up to church today. God, thank you for the younger generation who's here, the families. God, thank you for the faithful families in our church inviting other families. God, that's really what it's all about. And we pray, God, that your word will not return void and your gospel will not be hid to them. But Lord, we know when it's hid to them that are lost. And God, I just ask you now to bless our church. Thank you for what you've allowed our church to do in the lines of missions already. But Lord, we know through you, you are capable to do great and mighty things which we know not. And Lord, that's what we're asking for this morning. Just a touch of heaven and a voice from heaven. Lord, now cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning, Lord. Allow me to say only what you would have me say. I preach with clarity and boldness. And Lord, the wisdom from heaven will just come down and touch your people this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Genesis 12, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, verse 1, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. You think that kind of sounds like a missionary statement right there? Look at what he said. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee. That's a very personal statement that we see there in verse number 1. Would everybody agree with that? Pretty personal. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy what, church? Kindred. And from thy what? Unto a land that I will show thee. See, God has given Abraham a very strict command here. We often wonder, why in the world can't we just, you know, and God don't call everybody to be a missionary, okay? Let me rephrase that. Everybody's a missionary, whether you're called out there or you're called to your community. You are called by God to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. Amen? That is our job. But here, Abraham has a very strict command. I don't normally do my points with the same letter, but this morning it just so happened like that as I was studying. And God gave me 3 points on this command. Number one, God's word to Abraham was a very strict command. Well, how strict was it? Well, he told him to get out of his country. Now look, if God were to call me today, or God were to call you today, and he were to say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and by the way, God's not going to say, I think you should do something. Everybody okay with this? God's going to say, this is what I want you to do, or this is what I don't want you to do. God's not the author of confusion. See, this business about, well, God, maybe God thinks like, no. If God tells you to do something, you're going to be sure about it. There's going to be no doubt, no confusion. You know, you have to understand that God is not the author of what? Confusion. So when God tells you to do something, it's not, well, did God really mean that? Yes. If he said it, he meant it. Because he doesn't lie. But he had a very strict command. He told him to get out of his own country. Picture yourself this morning as Abraham, soon to be. But picture yourself sitting here in Red Level, Alabama, and you know this is where many of you have called home for a lot of years, and many of you probably plan on dying right here where you call home. But just what if God said, hey, I want you to get out of your country. I want you to get away from all your kin folks. Get away from your mom and dad's house and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Our first question would be what? Why? Really? Me? Now see, immediately the devil starts bringing up reasons why you can't do it. You want me to leave America? How many love America? Say amen. Amen. Hey, if you love America, you better be praying for it. I said, if you love America, you better be praying for it. I love America. I love our country. I love what we stand on. I don't love what the public will tell you that we stand on. Folks, we don't stand on what they think we stand on. This country was founded on a King James Bible and the Word of God. That's what the country really relates to. That's what the forefathers really based their opinions and their facts on, was the Word of God when they were forming our country. It was, what does God think about it? They believed in prayer. Y'all okay? It's hard to find a church that believes in that anymore. It's surely hard to find a church that preaches a King James Bible. There ain't very many of them left. They might have the title Independent Baptist, but hey, they're not fundamental. It ain't King James only. And I'm not King James ugly, but I'm always going to be King James only. Y'all all right with that? I hope so. If you're not, you're in tough luck, because I'm not changing. And you ought not change. This is God's perfect, pure, inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God for you and for me. And there's nothing wrong with it. What's the purpose in changing it? But I love America. I'll say it again. I love America. You should love America. And if God called me and God called you and said, hey, I want you and your family to go to such place, it's going to be tough, isn't it? But what about my house? What about my cars? What about my grandkids? What about my kids? What about my mom? What about my dad? What about my job? What about my things? You know, all those missionaries we support, I bet you they had those questions. I bet Brother Bobby had those questions. But you know, 36 churches later that he's established, I bet you ain't asking those questions no more. You know, the financial support that we're able, that God allows us to give them every month, you know, that's being faithful. So that they can't go over there and do that job that God's called them to do and work a full-time job. Doesn't work like that. They rely on God's people and God's resources to take care of them. By the way, it is all God's, right? I said it is all God's, right? I mean, it's God's. At a moment's notice, God could change everything. I mean, I'm thinking of a lady right now. In our church, one minute she's taking care of her family and up walking and cleaning and doing things that she loves to do, and the next minute she has no use in her left arm and left leg. Y'all okay? See, God can take away what you think belongs to you. The Bible says you're bought with a price, so you ought to be glorifying God with your bodies. Amen? So, a strict command. Get out of your country. He wanted Abram to leave all that he had. Leave his comfort and his way of life. He wanted him to learn and to trust him and him alone. I wonder how many of you today could honestly say with a sincere heart, if God called me, Brother Drew, I would go. I'd have no questions. Not many of us. I believe our churches in America are filled with should have been missionaries. Should have been preacher boys. Should have been pastors, should have been pastors' wives, should have been junior church workers, should have been Sunday school teachers, should have been bus workers, should have been door knockers. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Should have been, could have been, ought to been, but you just didn't want to. I wonder this morning if maybe God's laid it on some of your hearts to do something. Can I let you in on a little secret? It ain't too late. Amen. Never too late to do the right thing. You might say, well, Brother Drew, you don't understand. God asked me to do this years ago. Hey, it's not too late. He's clearly not done with you yet. You're still breathing. You still have breath in your lungs that, by the way, He gave you. It's not too late to do the right thing. If God's calling you to do something, hey, don't let your carnal, fleshly desires and things hold you back. Ministry takes sacrifice. See, a lot of people want to be involved in the ministry, but their explanation of being involved is, oh yeah, I go to church down there. I sit on that second row, second seat in. Been there for 40 years. Well, what do you do in the church? Sit on the pew? That's it? Yeah. I'm part of that church. Oh, and when something good's happened, they'll be the first to stand up and they'll take credit for it all. Ain't never knocked on a door and barely even talked to people when they come in because they're scared somebody's going to get close to their seat. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to teach. They don't want to preach. They don't want to help. They don't want to give. They don't want to go. They don't want to do nothing except what their flesh desires. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's 90% of our churches. See, the statistics are about 12% of the people do 100% of the work. Y'all all right? What you doing? Ask yourself that question. What am I doing? What is it that God could use me to do? And hey, if you're confused, you know God is just waiting for you to humble yourself and say, God, what could you do with me? I'll go. I'll give my time. I'll give my talents. I'll give my treasures as the Lord allows. And again, this isn't all about money. God, I can give my time. Hey, we've been working the last couple of weeks right over there. Multiple men have shown up and put in hours. Why? Because they want to serve. They want to help. They want to do what they can. Multiple ladies have told me, hey, I can't do much physically, but I can cook a meal. You know what that shows me? They still have the sincere desire to serve God. In that, and what they have left is not much physically. But let me tell you something. You remember the lady that gave the two mites? She gave all that she had to God. Many of us will live our Christian life. Yeah, we'll write our tithe checks. We'll go to church. But we'll have given nothing of ourselves. Most of us will reach heaven and we'll look around and maybe you'll see some sweet rewards over there on Main Street. And God will look and He'll say, oh, I see you eyeballing those rewards. Those were supposed to be yours. They sure are nice, aren't they? This is what I had laid up for you. But you chose to serve self. You chose to live your life for you. Now you're going to get in thanks to Jesus, who's at the right hand, by the way, right? You're going to get in thanks to Jesus. You did choose the way, the truth, and the life. You're going to make it in. But man, when you get in and you start looking around, you're like, whoa. That's a beautiful place that guy's got. His family's all here. His friends. And you start thinking to yourself, I sure do wish my friends would be here. I sure do wish my family would be here someday. But you were so stinking selfish on earth, you didn't even talk to your family about Jesus. Some of us might get there and we might think one day, where are my children? Where are my children? I could think of no worse situation, Brother Scott, than to get to heaven and before all the tears are wiped away, know that one of my children's in hell. You know that's a reality for people. Did you know it does not have to be a reality? But you have a responsibility. And we're failing. Those that we call our friends, our loved ones, our good old boys, our buddies that we hang out with every day, we eat lunch with them, we talk to them, we work with them, we joke with them, we laugh with them, we watch ball with them, but we're in heaven one day. Maybe they don't make it. And then you start remembering all the times that God said, how many opportunities did I give you to minister to him? Or how many opportunities did I give you to minister to her? How many opportunities did I waste? And you look over. Here's the sad part. That great white throne judgment happens. We won't be there. I'm not going to be there. I hope you're not. But you'll be able to see that. And you'll be able to see that friend or that family or that child or that grandchild get brought up out of hell and cast into an eternal lake of fire. The Bible describes where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's a place of total damnation, eternal separation from Jesus Christ. No more chances. Hey, what you doing this morning? Has God called you to get out of your comfort zone like he called Abram? God's command was very strict. He was very strict in what he had told him. It was going to be no easy task to leave all his kindred behind and everything that he had grown to love for his whole life. We have a missions conference coming up in October, and we're going to get to meet some missionaries who have been called very strictly by God into foreign countries, and some into America, some into lands unknown, not knowing what's ahead of them. But like Abram, get this, they have a promise to rest on. You know, I like that our God keeps his promises. I like that God is not going to ask any of us, and he's not going to ask any of these ladies and gentlemen that you'll get to meet in October to do anything and just leave them behind. God is going to go with them. Isn't that good that we have an omnipresent God? I'm so thankful that God don't call us to do something and then expect us to just figure it out. Aren't you? We sure would be in a mess. We can be confident that God will finish what he starts. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God is not going to ask me to start something that he's not going to give me the ability to finish. But through him, through him, through him, see, here's what happens. Anybody can start. Did y'all hear what I just said? Anybody can start. Very few people finish. I read of one individual in the Bible who talks about finishing well. One. Now, we know Jesus finished well. He accomplished everything that God asked him to do. And his work's not done yet. Y'all know that? It's not done. But I read of one individual that finished well. And I don't know about you, but I want to finish well. I stress this to our football players all the time. Starting a game good is one thing, but bad things are going to happen. And you got two choices. I'll tell you something I can't stand. As a coach, as a dad, as a mentor, as a pastor, as an individual, really. And if you like this kind of stuff, well, I'm sorry, you ought to get right with the Lord. But when things go wrong, we just do this. Just look down at the ground. Somebody's trying to get on to you and you're like, I don't want to hear that. It's not fair. Grow up. Grow up. Life isn't fair. It wasn't fair that Jesus had to take your sins upon himself and die because you're wicked. That wasn't fair. But you know, we were at halftime the other night and we were losing 13-12. And I could see some of the kids were fired up and ready to go, but there were still a few that were just not sure. And I made this statement. I said, you know, I have 6 children. God has granted me 6 children, 1 in heaven, so 7 children. But I have 6 down here that he's left me responsible for. And I said, you know, in life as a dad, things just aren't always going to go my way, are they? Everybody agree with that? There's going to be times where I can look around and just say, this just ain't fair. This just ain't right. That shouldn't happen to me. I don't know what to do. I'm going to just quit. I'm done. I'm losing. Still got a whole half of football left, but I'm losing. Down 1 point. We're done. I said, guys, if I treated my children and my family like that and I just quit, every single time the devil tried to throw a wrench in something, and I just gave up and gave in, hey, more than I am going to suffer. And I told them to look around the room. You're supposed to be brothers. Well, hey, church, look around the room. You're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. This isn't about you. It's about Him. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. Grow up spiritually. Grow up mentally. Grow up physically. You get on to your children for acting up. Hey, God ought to whip some of you every now and then. Everybody all right? I'm serious. If we just stop feeling sorry for ourselves and stop having pity parties every time we don't get our way or something doesn't go our way, hey, life would be a whole lot sweeter. This is about Jesus. It's not about you and me. And you know what happened in the second half? Them boys went out there. They were fired up. They realized, hey, if I keep my head down, this is going to get worse. Anybody ever got better by staying down? No. Sometimes we just got to buck up, take it on, right? Get back on the offense. We went out there. We won the game 34-20. Y'all all right? Hey, you know, we can win this game too. If we pick our heads up and stop feeling bad. Well, God called me away from my family. Hey, one of the best things God ever did for me was take me away from my family. You know why? Because He knew where I was. I wasn't going to grow spiritually. He knew exactly what would happen to me if I stayed. He had to get me away from the things that I desired and the things that I loved. And He took me into a world unknown where I needed a lot more clothes. It was cold. It was different. It was way out of this country boy's comfort zone. But God didn't make a mistake. He had a pastor up there that was ready to mentor me, not just because I married his daughter. I'm sure that had something to do with it. No doubt it did. But look, he had a man there prepared that didn't know me like the people here knew me. He didn't have the I'm going to feel sorry for this boy mentality. He had the mentality of, hey, God's got a purpose for you, son, and He's given me the responsibility on helping you get there. I'm so thankful God moved me. Now you say, well, you're here now. Yeah, but it took a long time. It was a long journey. It was like them dang Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. I probably could have been back a whole lot sooner. But I'm stubborn. I'm like, hey, Egypt's so much better. No, no, no. Every time I thought that, God was like, really? Everything I brought you from. Hey, listen, God will get you away from your comfort zone to help you grow. It's okay if God calls you away from mommy and daddy for a little while. You know what we need is some marriages that'll do that. You know what's wrong with a lot of marriages in America today? They don't believe in leave and cleave. Every time something happens, we run to mom and dad. Shame on you! I don't go talk to my mom and dad if I have a disagreement with my wife. You say, Pastor, you yes! I disagree with her often, and she disagrees with me more often. But we're not going to run to our parents and talk about it. That's wrong. Y'all okay? You want your marriage to have problems? Interfere your parents with it. You know, God gave you that wife, sir, and God gave you that husband, ma'am. Listen, two became one. God's given you the ability to make it. How do you know? Because He's against divorce. One man, one woman, one what? Lifetime. You can do it. There's been plenty of times over the last few years where I just could have said, you know, this is crazy. This isn't working. I don't know what's wrong with her. Guys, quit trying to figure that out. God wired her, and He wired her for you. Be thankful for her. Do your job as a man. Here's something I found. If I'm living for the Lord and I'm striving to be a godly husband, my wife wants to be more of a godly wife. Y'all hear what I said, guys? See, God has given men the responsibility to lead the home, not the women. Everybody okay? And I got nothing against women. I love women. I'm so thankful I'm not one, but I love them. I mean, I watched my wife birth 6 children. I'm thankful I'm not a woman. They're tougher than I am. I mean, I'm telling you right now, but listen, but God didn't put that responsibility on your wife, sir. And He didn't do that for a reason. Because He gave you the ability to lead her just like the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you into all truth. See, when you follow the Holy Ghost, you become a man that God has wired for your wife to want to follow. Everybody all right? That's Bible. Don't be mad at me. Some of y'all about to throw your Bibles at me. That's all right. I can still move a little bit. Just make sure it's a King James Bible or it won't be effective. All right? Listen, we got to step up to the plate and learn our responsibilities. Be confident that God will give you the desire and the ability to finish what He started. These missionaries that we're preparing to meet, and Lord willing, we'll be able to take some of them on financially. They all have something in common. They're confident in the God of heaven that He will finish what He had started. They're not stepping out on their own knowledge and wisdom. You know, I'd hate to know that I'm a pastor just because I want to be a pastor. I believe a pastor is a God-called position. I believe that God called me a long time ago to preach. And I didn't know, I'll be honest with you, up until about 4 years ago, if they'd asked me if I wanted to be a pastor, I'd know. Because I know what they have to go through. I worked under my father-in-law, and I got the bulk of a lot of that stuff that went on, and I'm like, absolutely not. My favorite thing to do was say, hey, go talk to the preacher. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to keep it off on me a little bit. I'm like, his office is right over there. Go talk to him. But now I understand. Listen, this ain't for everybody. I understand that. But God has something for everybody. Do you understand? God has something for you. Say this back to me. God has a plan for me. Say it with me. God has a plan for me. Say it again. God has a plan for me. You say, Brother Drew, what is it? Well, that's where your faith comes in. We're going to unplug right here this morning. I'll finish this message maybe next week. But as the piano